Romans 8 is among the best texts on Christian living, and we'll learn a lot about Christian living. He also starts to keep using the word Spirit or Holy Spirit over again. That didn't happen much before. Romans 8:1 begins with the word therefore. And again, therefore means conclusion. So we want to know what the therefore is therefore, and it gives a conclusion. So turn with me, please, to Romans 8:1. Therefore, conclusion, climax. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation. The last syllable of that in Greek is krima. We get crime from it. Now, because we'll use it again later on, the first part is according to the crime. Kata krima, according to the standards of the crime. All who trust in Jesus as Savior will be uncondemned. God the Father, as a judge, has already said, clothed in Christ's righteousness, this person will be pardoned, acquitted, exonerated, no condemnation. Ken read the other prominent no condemnation verse, John 5:24. That those who believe on him shall not come into condemnation, but have passed, past tense, over and done with, have passed from death into life. I do remember the first person I talked with about suicide. I was 18. This person is from Chicago. I can still picture bug-eyed and pulling his hair out. And he was all worried about not making it. He was all worried about no matter how hard he worked, he wouldn't make it to heaven. And he couldn't hardly stand it anymore. And this is the verse. These are the verses, the first two. There will be no condemnation to those who are believers. You're a believer. Have some security, have some strength, don't worry about this, there will be no condemnation. Romans 8:1, John 5:24 has eternal life, you already have it, and if you already have it and it's eternal, it can't end, and has passed, over and done with, from death into life. All who believe in Christ as Savior are already settled and are already right before God the judge. We will continue with this, although I want to stress one more word here in verse 1. It's the word now. Okay? Now. I think the transition, you can think otherwise, it's not important, fundamental to faith, but the transition in chapter 8 is after Paul was saved. I think chapter 7 is describing what he was like before he was saved. And in chapter 7, it's just Paul's past. He was trying to keep the law of Moses. He was trying to become holy and earn salvation by keeping the law of Moses. And even before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he had already concluded he couldn't keep the law. So as an unbeliever, as a person without the Holy Spirit, he was trying to keep the law, and in chapter 7 he already concluded, can't do it. And verse 1 here is the transition to what Paul is describing now. Now after faith. And chapter 7, I think, is before he was saved. Lots of death in chapter 7. Verse 5, fruit unto death. Verse 9, commandment came, I died. Verse 11, sin killed me. Verse 13, the cause of death. Verse 14, flesh sold into bondage, we'd say slavery to sin. Chapter 7, verse 23, a prisoner of sin. Chapter 7, verse 24, the body, the flesh of this death. So it can be interpreted otherwise, and it would not be heresy, but I interpret chapter 7 as past. Chapter 8, verse 1, now. Past, in the flesh, Paul trying to keep the law, trying to earn salvation. He comes already upon the conclusion, this isn't working. Now, chapter 8, verse 1, peace of mind, no condemnation. Now have the Holy Spirit. And now in verse 2, can do better at behavior. Let's look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Verse 2 starts the Holy Spirit, not in chapter 7. And now starts the Holy Spirit after the transition of trusting in Jesus as Savior. Then there was freedom from the slavery of the law. He was a slave to sin prior to. But in both in chapter 6 and here, chapter 8, we who believe in Christ are set free from slavery to sin, and we are not dead. Unbelievers are dead, not in the sense that before we believed we didn't exist, but that's not the Bible's definition of death. The Bible's definition of death is separation. Unbelievers, and before we believed in Jesus, are alive, but separated from God. That's the definition of death. We can still sin, but we are separated from its inevitable control. And now he goes on in verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, it had a body, Jesus had a body, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Result, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For means because, for God so loved the world means because God so loved the world, he sent his son. For means because, here in verse 3, because what the law could not do. He tried to keep the law before salvation. His flesh was weak. He could not keep the law, and he already knew it before the Damascus Road. Already knew he could not earn the law and be perfect. Now, some unsaved people, and sometimes they're better than others. Not all are as bad as they can be, but Paul's attitude here is, can you become holy before you're a believer? Can you become close to God? Could you even come close to earning your salvation? And be perfect like God? He had already concluded that will not work. Before his faith in Jesus, Paul had already concluded that he was weak in the flesh. He could not do the law. So the point here is not only is it factually wrong that we can be saved by works, it is impossible to be saved by works. It is impossible before salvation and the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is impossible for a person to become holy and godlike. Can they do better sometimes than others? Yes. Could he, before his salvation, become holy and godlike? Nope. And he already knew it. He also knew, as we continue on to verse 4, now, after salvation, the requirement of the law, we can do better. After salvation, and after the presence of the Holy Spirit, Paul could do better at keeping what is right. This is about Christian living. I would say the Holy Spirit dwells within, and we have to try to obey what is right. We can't do it ourselves. The efforts are necessary but not sufficient. But while we try to do what is right, we depend upon the indwelling Holy Spirit to get there. And Paul's experience was, before he had the Holy Spirit, he couldn't be holy. After he had the Holy Spirit, he would try and depend upon the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he could be holy. So after salvation, then Paul could keep the law better. Particularly, thou shalt not covet, which really bugged him. But before salvation, he couldn't keep the law. Unbelievers cannot become holy, cannot earn salvation by faith. That is the main teaching. And I would say he's talking in chapter 7 in the past, trying to keep the law, trying to keep it by the strength of his own flesh. Could not do it. All he decided it would not work. But he, after he trusted in Christ as Savior, had the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he actually could do better at working towards holy. Now, I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the phrase at the close of verse 4, according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. The majority view in our circles would be that some days we are according to the flesh and other days we're according to the Spirit, and a believer goes back and forth. That is not heresy. In Galatians 5, it does talk about going one way and then the other. Galatians 5 doesn't use the word death. There's a lot of death in here. I would add right now here, according to means according to the standards of. It does in some of the references that Jesus uses. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearances, according to the standards of appearances, but judge according to righteous judgment, according to the standards of. Jesus said in John 8:15, you people judge according to the flesh. It means you're judging according to the way the world thinks and according to the flesh. So that is a meaning. I would take it here, according to the standards of. Unsaved people always live according to standards of the flesh. The standards of the flesh would be what makes the world happy, what makes the flesh happy, what makes the pride of life happy. Those are the standards. Believers might not behave, but the Holy Spirit is always the standard. The Holy Spirit's teaching mostly is in the Bible. I do believe in promptings and burdens and impressions. If a person is following the Bible closely, and then after that, I think we can trust more promptings and impressions. But saying according to the standards of the Spirit would mostly mean according to the book he wrote. This is true, this is error, this is right, this is wrong. So we're actually getting to the more convincing verses. I'm just doing it ahead of time. I take according to the flesh, meaning according to the standards of the flesh, and according to the Spirit, meaning according to the standards of the Spirit. And I would say at all times, unsaved people are walking according to the flesh. And believers at all times, whether they behave or not, the standard is the Holy Spirit. That will help. We're doing it here. That will help in the next section, because he keeps saying, otherwise you're dead. It's part of the reason I have a hard time taking this as, at the same time, the believer goes one way and the believer goes the other way. The believer goes, I would rather take it as before Paul's salvation, after Paul's salvation. Before salvation, he was in the flesh, no Holy Spirit. You're going to see the word dead, 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 over. After salvation, have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives new standards of behavior. Life, 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 life. before salvation, slaves, addicted, more modern terminology, addicted to wrong. After salvation, no longer slave. Sin is possible, but no longer slavery. Let's read verses 5 and following. Those who are according to the standards of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the standards of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the mind set on the flesh is death. That's kind of why I interpret it as an unbeliever. They're dead. They're not believers. The mind set on the flesh is dead, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In the context, they can't earn salvation. In the flesh, without the Holy Spirit, before believing in Christ, Paul tried and tried and tried. He kept bugging him, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not. He had already concluded, I can't do this. I got to kind of put that in line when we look at verse 8. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what we commonly call the natures of the believers, flesh and the spirit, that is biblical. I just wonder whether it's here. It's Galatians chapter 5. So, that's true teaching. That we some days can live one way and the other way and back and forth. It's Galatians chapter 5. But all through chapter 6 and 8, believers are free from sin. And also, Paul in Galatians 5 did not use the word death. And here it's over and over and over. Like it's better to interpret, before salvation, he tried to keep the law in his flesh. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, and he kept coming to the conclusion, dead, 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 dead. Now, after trusting in Jesus as Savior, he had life. And he had freedom from the slavery of sin, and he could keep the law better. So I think here verse 6 means the minds of the unbeliever set on the flesh is dead. I take it as they're spiritually dead. With other interpretations, we have to figure out how you call a Christian dead. So I wondered about that since I was in high school. And interpret dead as unbelievers. And then now, chapter 8, verse 1, now, after salvation, life. After salvation, the Holy Spirit. Last time, we went ahead and looked at verse 9, and knowing we would do it twice, I did it on purpose. Verse 9 gives Paul's own definitions. Read it shortly, but look at Paul's own definition for in the spirit or in the flesh. Verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. And now, the closing part, he dwells inside every believer. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Let's do the second sentence first. It's phrased negatively. Anybody who does not have the Holy Spirit is not a Christian. Flip it around positively. All who are believers already have the Holy Spirit. With a little review last time, verses which have believers without the Holy Spirit are Old Testament verses. They're pre-Pentecost verses. Verses which have the Holy Spirit coming and going, like on Samson and Saul, and David was worried about it, they're pre-Pentecost verses. One should not be using pre-Pentecost verses to develop a theology of how the Holy Spirit works now. We are not under the temple worship system, bringing animals to worship. We don't have a priesthood. We are under the church system. Everything switched. And after Pentecost, That's when we get the truths about the Holy Spirit, and it teaches that the Holy Spirit already indwells every believer. So this is the close of verse 9, but Jesus taught in John 7:38 and 39 that after he was glorified, the Holy Spirit would indwell everybody who believes. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for with one Spirit we are all placed, plunged, baptized into one body. How many? All. Second part of the verse, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Drink would be indwelling. The Holy Spirit is inside how many believers? All. Everybody? Everybody who is a believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. The systems which teach it as a second blessing that comes later, they're all looking at verses out of the Old Testament. They're all looking at pre-Pentecost verses. Really? It's kind of inexcusable. Really? Everything changed after Pentecost. Every believer already has the Holy Spirit. Now, back to the definitions in the first sentence of verse 9. The definition of being in the Spirit is having the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Looking at the other way, the definition of being in the flesh is not having the Holy Spirit. So I interpret in the Spirit as Christians, in the flesh as unsaved. That's how I interpret Romans 7 and 8. It's very common to take it as we would call it two natures within a believer. Well, then they're dead a lot. Some days, dead, 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 all through here, dead, dead, dead. Also, the definition is in verse 9. I will say the idea of two natures in a believer is not a false doctrine. It's taught more clearly in Galatians chapter 5. So it's the kind of thing, it's in Galatians chapter 5, and if a person wants to interpret it this way here, that is possible, but sure are a lot of dead verses. And look at verse 9, definition, you're not in the flesh if you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside all believers. So it's like a secondary doctrine, not fundamental to faith. He wouldn't put it on the top of the list, but I think that he's defining himself before he was saved. He was in the flesh. He tried and tried and tried, and he could not become holy. He couldn't do it, and already knew it. And he kept coming to the conclusion, I'm still dead, I'm still dead, I'm still dead, I'm still dead. After trusting in Jesus as Savior, he realized no condemnation. Alive. Now, sin still exists, but no longer slavery to sin. Might be able to try, might be able to do better. Now he will talk more about being alive in verses 10 and 11. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Well, we obviously use Jesus' words in John 11 more often in funeral services, and it certainly makes sense we use Jesus' words more. They talk about the same thing. Here is like John 11:25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And that's what Paul is saying here. The body might die, first part of verse 10. Might have a funeral. But we'll live again, like he told Martha. We'll live again. I am the resurrection and the life. Then Jesus continued his sentence in John 11:26. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, biologically, yes, he just said so, but shall never die in a sense of never be separated from God. immaterial nature will continue. We may call soul or spirit will continue. So unbelievers are in the flesh and don't have the power of the Holy Spirit and cannot earn salvation. Paul already learned that. He thought that years ago. Believers are in the Spirit, can do better at becoming holy, depend upon the Holy Spirit within to keep those commands. And the Holy Spirit lives within. Therefore, our spirits will live forever, even if we, as he says, the flesh dies. So verses 10 and 11 are like John 11, 25 and 26. Now I'd like to continue to read verse 12 and 13. So then, brethren, we are under no obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to flesh. For if you are living according to flesh, you must die. That's the death category. That's why I take them as unsaved. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. According to the standards of. We always are living according to the standards of the Holy Spirit. Especially the book he wrote, and beyond that, promptings and convictions, but especially the book he wrote, I would take according, as meaning according to the standards of. Also, the next verse, we're always being led. Always. That's how I take it. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, how many are sons of God? Every believer. So I take... He's trying to lead all of us. Now we have a spiritual truth, and I suppose they know more about sheep, leading the sheep. I know more about leading the dog, which I do probably 5 or 6 days a week. And I lead it, but it doesn't always follow very good. Certain kinds of plants that Roy likes, it'll go off into this fence. Anyway, I believe that we are all being led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are a child of God. We're all children of God. He's trying to lead. We could have days where we don't follow very good. Kind of slowly and off the path. But I would interpret He's the leader. He's always the leader. So I learned, I had the conclusion in the flesh is usually dead in these chapters. And in the Spirit is alive. That's one thought towards the conclusion. He's talking about before salvation. After salvation. But Romans 8, 9 is the strongest. Definition of the word, you are not in the flesh if the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he indwells all who belong to him. It's not a real common interpretation. The view that it's the same time within a believer and they go one way and they go the other way. Galatians 5 kind of teaches that. So it's not like it's false doctrine, but he just said we're always alive and we're never slaves to sin again. So I think an interpretation that is best, I mean, you can go the other way if you want to, just have to figure out why Christians are dead all the time. But in the flesh means trying to keep the law without the Holy Spirit, trying to do good. And Paul already cited, dead, 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 this isn't going to work, can't do it, can't do, especially thou shalt not covet, can't do it, can't do it. Chapter 8, now after believing, no condemnation. Now after believing, have the Holy Spirit. Now after believing, have some power to become closer to godliness, and holiness. The main teaching would be back to the main part of the book. We cannot be saved by good works. it is wrong theology, it is not possible to do. You come, please, for the music.